You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Many shops and restaurants have stopped accepting cash as a way to protect their employees from the coronavirus. But when cash is no longer accepted, many people get left behind, the unbanked and the underbanked, people who have no or little access to bank accounts. In 2005, San Francisco launched a program called Bank on San Francisco to help more low-income people open accounts. And just last year, the city passed a cashless ban on businesses operating in the city, one of the first cities in the nation to do so. Then came the pandemic. I talked to Jose Cisneros, the treasurer of San Francisco, about how the city's doing in terms of its unbanked communities today.
There's a study that's done by the FDIC every few years, and their last results from 2017 show that still in the San Francisco Bay Area, there's still just under 5% of folks that have no checking account or savings account, totally unbanked. There's like 13.5% that are underbanked, which means that they report that even though they may have a bank account, they're still using a check casher at times or a payday lender. We still see that there's issues out there, and there are people that still, even here in San Francisco, may not have a bank account. And I think that's why our supervisors passed this ordinance that said, where at all possible, it's still important for us to give access to all, you know, kind of products and services in as many ways as possible, including even being able to pay by cash.
Mm-hmm. And if we can talk about who is unbanked and who is underbanked.
When we look at who's unbanked and underbanked, of course, you know, no surprise, we see that it's a lot of low-income people. Unfortunately, there are legacy low-income folks or vulnerable folks in our population. I'm sure every time we look at it, we see all sorts of racial inequity. We see the legacy of areas that are underserved by banks, bank branch deserts, even that occur at times. Holdovers from the old redlining days and all sorts of things like that.
Hmm. What about these restaurants, though, that have, you know, have remained open for takeout and delivery and said they no longer accept cash? Some folks have even made it a selling point. And for them, they say it's really an issue of health. We are a cashless shop, or we are a cashless restaurant.
I think we have to look at how that might work. I completely understand that at times, particularly during this completely unprecedented pandemic, people are worried about health and safety first and foremost. But certainly first and foremost, everybody should be following the laws. If they feel that's difficult for their business, I think they should contact our policymakers, which is our mayor and our board of supervisors here in San Francisco. They should work with them to say this law needs to be changed or this law needs to be temporarily suspended. But short of that, I think they should follow the laws. Now, I mean, I do say this is certainly a real-time struggle that many of us are having in our community, but and the reality is many things are going cashless, right? And that might seem like it in some ways it's exclusionary to low-income people or to some low-income people or to people who don't have a bank account. But at the same time, I would say we've also seen where low-income people can benefit by some of these new practices that are coming along. For example, a low-income person might find that they've had ready access to some earnings that they otherwise couldn't have if they could quickly and easily become an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. If we said that every Uber and Lyft driver had to have a cash box, a mobile cash register, be able to do business in cash, that might slow down many low-income people who wouldn't be able to pull that together and get that going or feel safe carrying cash around in their car or taxi drivers in their taxis, as they were often, as we know, targets of theft. And so in many ways, some of these advances, even, you know, non-cash services, are actually opening up opportunities. So I think there's some pros and cons, however you look at it.
Again, this cashless ban in San Francisco was made before a pandemic happened, and it does not, from the numbers, it does not look like it's going away anytime soon. Do you see this changing in any way?
This is the time when we need the most support, and particularly the most support around our financial situation. I really do believe that people are best supported by having some sort of a bank account that's appropriate for them, somewhere where they can keep their money safe. If they are getting paid, they can get paid through direct deposit, which means that the minute that their employer puts that money in their accounts, it's available for them to spend on their debit card or by pulling it out of an ATM. Fast access to our funds, safe access to our funds, keeping our money safe. When the government sent out the emergency relief payments to everybody in the country whose earnings were below a certain level, millions and millions and millions of people, the people who got that money the fastest are the people who had a bank account and had shared that bank account with the government, probably when they had filed their taxes. And that meant that they got hundreds of dollars weeks sooner when they needed it. I think that having all the best tools and set up for every single person in our city is critical to helping them be successful, particularly during challenging times like these. I would like to see everybody find a way to get connected to a safe, appropriate account for them and find a way to keep their money safe and have access to their funds as quickly and as easily as possible.
That's San Francisco Treasurer Jose Cisneros.